Christ. It is again that God has blessed us and raised us to be in the presence of the fellowship one more time. It did not have to be that way, but because of His grace and His mercy, He has spared our lives for these golden road moments, as the Lord said, to roll on just a little while longer. And I am indeed glad to be here and greet you with Jesus' joy. Anybody got any Jesus' joy? How many of you got Jesus' joy? Everything may not be going right in my life. I may have some aches and pains. My money might be funny. My family might be acting up. My children might be acting crazy. My husband, come on, may not be going according to what I hoped. But you have the opportunity to put something out in the atmosphere. There's an atmospheric pressure in here. Y'all ain't gonna say nothing. I said there's an atmospheric pressure in here that was once dead. But there's some life that's illuminating in the building. And it starts in our heart. God gets to moving on the inside. I used to wonder how it felt to feel the Spirit until I felt the Spirit. And I can speak about me. When I feel the Spirit, y'all just disappear. I don't know where y'all go. But I don't need to see y'all no more. I don't see that when they look at me saying, you know, take a whole day. See what I see, I hear what I hear, and I feel what I feel. Because I got a witness. When the Spirit hits you, you move. I know I'm right about it. Amen, amen. Today is a day I'm excited about. We're still in a series of messages dealing with marriage, the mystery of marriage. And look, somebody said, you get the good day to come here. You get the real good day to come here. I tell you, because we're talking about marriage. See, the reason that society is messed up, because family was messed up. You fix family, you fix society. Amen. You know, little boys, they're not born murderers, they grow up to be murderers. That's a learned behavior. Yeah. We're not born liars. Learn how to lie. Y'all ain't gonna say nothing. And we want to talk about marriage because marriage, someone said marriage is in trouble. No, marriage is not in trouble. No, because God established marriage. And anything that God establishes is not in trouble. Y'all just say it's good. Marriage is still good. And I do want to take care of a few preliminaries before we move forward. I want to say right here those of you who feel yourself at home, we're so happy to see you and have you worship with us. And I want to say also that we had two to join us. I want you to know the twins are here. God bless you. You don't think I see you, but I see you. I look for you. And I heard that the choir is waiting. Y'all can sing anytime you want to. Y'all can usher anytime you want to. Amen. And we're so happy that you joined us. And also, I want to say, we're going to celebrate 20 years of your service. Yeah, when I came here, I was somewhat of a young man. I remember that. Our children have grown up, and now they have children. And I have seen, we have grown together, we have laughed together, we have cried together. We have indeed become family. And I'm looking forward to the celebratory spirit that is awaiting us at the banquet. No, you put on your best and come on, whatever your best is. Amen? Amen. And, But at any time, if you want to, you can, what we used to call Tav Dam. I don't know what they call it now. Tav, we Tav Dam. That's what, that was in my head. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Oh, he's Tav Dam. I don't know what they call it now. But women, there's some women got their gowns. Lord have mercy. All ready. We didn't tell you to go buy none.
That's right.
If you buy something, that's on you. It's a time in which we can go and have fun, and we can release and just fellowship.
Amen.
There is a word from the Lord, and as we said before, we are desirous that we would do God's will by delivering this message. If you would pray with me, eternal God, our Father, it's preaching time now. We stand before a few preachable moments. Nothing occurs unless you speak. Speak now through your preacher, Father, while your people are here, waiting and attentive. Let your word go forth as a mighty stream to be received, heard, and heeded. Make us doers of your word, God. Where I fall short, if I fall short, when I fall short, I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit that dwells on the inside of each and every one of us will make up the difference, that this word is delivered in its entirety with the power and potency that your word wants. For it's in the name of Jesus, we all pray. Say with me, amen.
Amen.
Greater love hath no man than this, a man would lay down his life for his friends. And that's what Jesus has done for us. We will have the scripture, I take it, has been read. And we do have a verse of focus. I'm going to ask if you will, if you can stand to your feet, we will, as we normally do here at Faith, read the verse of focus as a family. The verse of focus is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 3. And today's message, I wish you could have been here for the other messages, but we're centering on gender roles. The reason that a lot of marriages have such difficulty is that since God designed marriage, it only works if we do it God's way. And what we try to do is we try to do it our way, in the world's way. But since God has designed it, he has prescribed how it is to work best. And everybody in marriage has a role to play. I can say this. I've been married now coming up on 37 years. And I want you to know, the first 15 of it was like a roller coaster. When it was good, it was great.
Mm-hmm.
When it was bad, it was terrible. I mean terrible. Y'all don't know terrible. But it was at a couple's retreat that I was teaching, that I was convicted by my own words. And we were teaching about roles. Look at somebody and say, you got to get in your lane. Once you understand where your lane is in the marriage, get in it and stay in your lane, everything smoothed out.
That's right.
And the last part has been consistently happening.
Yes.
When I started really doing what a husband was supposed to do, and she started really doing what the wife was supposed to do, everything smoothed out. And I want to say right here that there's no better life than the married life. Oh, yeah, I think you're right. Say amen. I don't know what you done heard about marriage, but I come to set the record straight. For the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, if you have the King James rendering, we will read as a family. 1, 2, 3, verse number 3, read. Now I want you to realize that the head of every man, why were you reading? I didn't give you the right one.
No, sir.
No, 1 Corinthians, I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Chapter 11, verse 3. I knew something was wrong. Yeah, we'll read. I read verse 2. Okay, start at verse 2. Where it says, now I. Alright, y'all with me? That's where we're going to start. The devil don't want this to go forward, but he's going to go after it. I'm going to preach this word, whether y'all get it or not. That one right there, we ain't where it starts out, it says, now I, 1, 2, 3, now I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ. Y'all, tell me this for me. Y'all, listen to this. Everything's happening for me. So y'all just listen to me, all right? All right. This is what we're going to read right here. Wherever it's coming from, it's coming from the Bible. Now, I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. Amen. Take my word for it. In there. You may take your seats. Oh, it happens for a reason. I want you to pray with me on a simple topic. The topic is, and it's in the form of a question, is your house in order? Oh, help me preach somebody. But somebody say, is your house in order? Yeah. We're going to talk about roles. Roles. And we're going to start with the leader. What the role of the leader is. Again, from this particular pericope of Scripture, we learn that Christ submits to God. We learn that man is to submit to Christ. And we learn that the woman is to submit to her husband. And if you take it a step further, and we are going to, the children submit to their parents. Somebody say order.
Order.
God has established order. With any organization, you must have somebody that is called leader. Am I right about it? Even the largest of organizations have CEOs. Someone who is chief and in control. If you go a little further and look at our schools have a leader, and they're called what? Principals. Are y'all with me? And even if you come to God's house, God's house, whether you know it or not, have a leader, and he's called, or she called what? The pastor. Somebody say the head. Every organization has the head or a head. And I was always told that anything with two heads is called a what? A monster. Y'all ain't gonna say nothing. So husbands, we are tasked with being the head of our family. Now can I talk to the single ladies? Single ladies, let me tell you something. If you're looking for a husband, you're doing the wrong thing. The Bible says, the man, he that findeth, the wife findeth a good thing. So the woman ain't supposed to be looking nowhere.
Amen.
All you gotta do is be found. But let me kind of say right here, just because somebody chooses you, you ain't gotta choose them. Oh, you got quiet right there. I know somebody is so happy to be chosen by anybody. But I don't know about you, I just don't want anybody. I don't know about you, I just don't want any job. Just because the door swing open don't mean I'm supposed to walk through it. No, I ain't gonna say nothing. Every open door don't mean that I need to go through it. The living door could swing open. What am I saying? Every job opportunity that they offer you, you ought not take without some prayer and some supplication. Just because it looks good don't mean it is good. Y'all ain't gonna say nothing. I'm gonna say it like this. Just because he looks good don't mean that it is good. Hello, wrong. No, you need to be looking to be chosen, but you need to look for some signs. Before you allow him to choose you, you need to be asking yourself, is he a fit spiritual leader? Because he is going to be leader of your family. Is he a fit spiritual leader? In other words, is he seeking after God? Somebody say already. If he is seeking after God before you get married, don't think that he's going to seek God after you get married. What you see is what you get. Now get quiet. Can we go deeper with that? No. We do need to be looking for someone who is after God's own heart.
Amen.
Is he already praying? And listen to this. You may not find him at church.
That's right.
Just because he goes to church don't mean that he is church.
Amen.
Sometimes what he'll do is he'll go to church just to fool you.
Amen.
Oh, you're going to get quiet right now. What you got to do is, Mike says, by their fruits you will know them. How does he treat his mama?
Amen.
If you got any sisters, how does he treat the sisters?
Amen.
Y'all need to say something.
Amen.
God will let you know who he is by not what he says, but by what he does. Somebody say you got to choose right. You got to choose right. And we're talking about genders or gender roles. The gender roles that God has established in what he calls marriage is quite different than our culture. And it's quite different than how we feel. To understand what our roles are as men, we must go back to the book of Genesis. You can just write it down, you notate it. Genesis 1:27 says, so God created male and female, created he him. Male and female, created he them. Somebody say, male and female.
Amen.
You should have been here for that sermon. So when Adam was made, when God made Adam, he was both male and female. And I'm just going to catch y'all up real quick. He was both male and female. God looked at Adam and said, it's not good that he be all one or all alone. So he reached into his side, I'm going real fast, and pulled the rib out of his side and made him a woman or a man with a womb. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
I don't know somebody, but go back and get the tape. And created him. Now Adam is no longer whole. He is just half a man of who he was.
Amen.
And that's what the Bible says, and the two shall become one flesh. When the two becomes one, oh Lord have mercy, in the economy of God, 1 + 1 now equals. Y'all talking, that's the world's man. The world's man, 1 + 1 = 2, but you got a mess. But in the economy of God, one whole person plus another whole person equals one married.
Yeah.
Lord, have mercy. One married person. As I say, go back and get the tape. Okay. Now, Adam is in and of himself. He is not whole, unless he is now with Eve. And the two shall become one flesh. Somebody say one.
One.
So now, notice that Satan didn't try to tempt the man part of the strong Adam. He tempted the weaker vessel. He didn't go to Adam. Notice in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, he tempts the woman because that's still Adam, but that's the more nurturing, that's the weaker vessel, that's the more emotional Adam. That's who Satan tempted. The Bible says that Eve was deceived, but Adam decided. The instruction was given to Adam when Eve wasn't even present, so that's why now God holds us responsible as leaders to make our families work.
Amen.
I say all that to say this. Now here comes the consequences. Somebody say the consequences. When you wrong me, I can forgive you and it's done. But when you wrong God, when you sin against God, that is always a penalty because he is just.
Mm-hmm.
Now the consequences of the fall is found again in the book of Genesis chapter 3 verse 16. And I'm going to read it so that y'all can see that my Bible will be like y'all's Bible. 1 Corinthians says, now this is the consequences of sin. He says, unto the woman, he says, this is God saying, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. That's why you have those labor pains. Because of sin. But this is the part that I'm trying to get to. This is what makes marriage challenging. And remember, this is God talking, and everything that God says has to come true. He says, and thy desire, or he says, the woman's desire shall be to her husband, and he shall rule over thee. When we read that, it makes us think that she's going to desire him. You've got to look up the Hebrew word of desire. The Hebrew word of desire. Can I teach you a thing? Don't let me lose you. The Hebrew word for desire means control. Somebody say control. Man, that's why when you first hook up with her, she wants to know where you are, who you talk to, where you been, where you coming from, where you going. Y'all ain't gonna say nothing. The reason is because she wants to control you. It is the result of sin. She wants to control your every move. Well, somebody know what I'm talking about. You just can't say that now because she's here. And then what he said about the man, he said, and he shall rule over you. Now, he's going to try to dominate the wife. So I say power struggle. Every household has experienced a power struggle.
Amen.
And some of you might still be experiencing a power struggle. I didn't say a power outage. I said a power struggle.
Amen.
The man trying to be in control and dominate or control the woman, and the woman trying to control the man. Why? Because God says your desire, the same word that he told about Cain, you're going to try to control him. And these are the things that must be fought against. These are the things that must be guarded against. And how do you do it? I'm so glad you asked. It's called order. So I say it's got to come to order. You got to bring your house in order. And the way you do that is through these simple little steps. It's found in our background scripture in Ephesians chapter 5. Somebody say Ephesians 5. Verse 25. These are instructions to the husband. It says, husbands, love your wives. Be good. Stop right there. Now, hands will be full. That's 14 different attributes of love. But God doesn't stop right there. He goes on to say, even as Christ has loved the church, my God.
Amen.
Mm.
Amen.
Any wives in here?
Amen.
Any wives in here?
Amen.
Look at your husband and say, that you love me to death. Amen. I didn't hear no answer. Church, that means that we're willing to die for her.
Amen.
Somebody ought to stand up. And I say amen. Did he not go to the cross for us? The Bible says when we were yet sinners. Oh, have mercy. If we are to love like Christ loved. Notice this. When we get our wife, that means that she's not a finished product. Did you hear me? She's not a finished product. I don't know about you, but when I first gave my life to Christ and I became his, I was not finished. I was a man undone, and I had lips that were undone. In other words, I didn't talk right, I right and act right, but Christ died for me anyway because he loved me so. Now, men, we're not called to die for our spouses, but we are called to crucify some stuff. I had nailed some stuff to the cross. Oh, y'all ain't gonna say nothing. I was a jealous man.
All right, Pastor.
And I ain't the only one in here. Can I talk about jealousy just for a little while? Jealous people are insecure folks. Jealous people are insecure about their own being, their own self. They're not sure of themselves. I don't have to preach by myself. If I could love her as Christ loved the church, Christ loved her even when she won't write. We got to love our wives through when they are wrong. Y'all ain't gonna say nothing. Haven't you been wrong? Doesn't the Lord still love you anyway?
Amen.
We gotta be faithful, man. We gotta love them when they don't act right. We gotta love them when they stop talking to you. God ain't gonna say nothing. I don't know about you, but when I was first got married, it was a whole lot of weeks of quietness. Two grown folk in the same house not speaking to one another over some stupid stuff. Y'all ain't gonna say nothing. No. We gotta love them. If we're gonna love them like Christ loved the church, you know what? God didn't finish. He didn't finish with that. He went on to say, as Christ loved the church and gave himself for the church. When we get married, we take on our wives. We got to understand that they're just like the church. They're undone. They have to go through a process. Lord have mercy. Look at somebody and say, we got to make them better. I know I'm getting my spirit. Now, you can't make nobody, not according to the Word of God. The Word of God means that I can make my wife just like Christ can make his church without spot or wrinkle. What does that mean? That means that we marry some spots and wrinkles. And the iron won't get those wrinkles out. Y'all ain't gonna say nothing. The word says they might present himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. You got to love your wives like Christ loved the church. I just want to leave three little points. The first kind of love we got to exhibit to our wives is a realistic love. Somebody say a realistic love. A realistic love is a love that is not like the honeymoon. One of the most deceptive times is courtship. Everybody's putting their best foot forward. You don't really get to see who the person is. And they're false everywhere. Y'all ain't gonna say nothing. Yeah, you go out on a date, yeah, they got their best look, they got their best clothes, they acting on their best behavior, but once you marry that person, then the real person comes out. That's what I'm going to say now. I said the real person comes out. The story goes that a man married this singer. Y'all heard it again. I know Faith heard it. I'm going to say it again. Married this singer, and he was so infatuated with her on the marriage night. He was looking forward to her until she came in, sat down, and took off her arm and laid it aside. And his mouth dropped. She took off a wig and put that on the doorpost. She wiped her face. She didn't have no makeup on. She didn't have no eyebrows. I had one eyelash, and that didn't have many hairs. She's terrified right now. All of a sudden, she reached down to her head. It's that woman, sing, do something. Don't miss that. What am I saying? I'm saying that you don't see the real person that after you marry. Oh, I know what I'm right. So man, you gotta have a realistic view of who she is. You hear me? You got to have a realistic view of who she is. We bring everything to the table with expectations. And I want you to know that's the biggest problem with a lot of downfalls and a lot of divorces and marriages, that everybody comes with unrealistic expectations.
Amen.
That's why you need to go through marriage counseling.
Amen.
Marriage counseling takes you through the unrealistic part and puts you right in what's real. Somebody said, what's real? Okay, then we have to love her sacrificially. That's how Christ loved. Christ loved realistically. He knew that the church was messed up, but he loved anyway. While we were yet sinners, he died for us. He knew we were messed up, but he loved us anyway. The Bible says that love covers a multitude of faults. Lord have mercy. Then we got to love sacrificially. Somebody say sacrificially. Let me say right here. Where there's no sacrifice, there is no love. So we get on the same page. What is a sacrifice? I'm so glad you asked. A sacrifice is something of value that I give up because she's more important.
That's right.
What does that mean? I want to sit down and look at the football game. Oh, this is where it's going to get real quiet. But she want to talk. She don't want to talk about nothing, she just want to talk. But my team is playing. My question is, did you marry the team? Or did you marry her? My question is, when you go to bed at night, you gonna lay up with the team? Well, if you don't treat her right, you gonna take one for the team. I just lost somebody right there. Lord have mercy. Go ahead. Somebody said sacrificially. If you're not willing to give up something of value, we men, the Bible goes on to say it's in there, that we've got to love our wives as our own body. And whether you know it or not, I think a lot of the body that God gave me in the part that's left. It ain't like I want it, but it's mine. Y'all ain't gonna say nothing. And I'm gonna take care of it. I'm gonna dress it the best way I can. I'm gonna put some nice shoes on and socks. And I'm gonna groom it. Y'all gonna look like I said this morning. And I'm gonna put on some smell good. Me. I'm gonna comb my hair, and if I need to, I'm gonna go get a haircut. In other words, I'm gonna spend some money on me. Y'all ain't gonna say nothing. But when I get married, it ain't about me no more. Any husbands in here, raise your hand if you ain't too scared. Everybody that got your hand up, it ain't about you no more. It's about her. She's dressed better than me. Y'all ain't gonna say nothing. Honey, you want some shoes? I might want some shoes, but she gets the shoes in the house. If you're blessed to have two vehicles, she drives one and you drive one, hers ought to stay cleaner than yours.
You pray.
And I don't mean taking the five minutes to my head. You want to clean it. I know it's going to get quiet right here. You keep your vehicle clean and hers looks like a pigsty. What kind of leader are you? You know what it's like? It's like a mother who has a child and her hair look better than the child's look. I don't know about you, but I was getting my teeth fixed. beautiful smile until my child needed braces. $5,000 later, I still haven't got my teeth fixed. I went back to the dentist, and all of a sudden, the second child needed braces. And you know, y'all know what? I still ain't got my teeth fixed, but at this day, the heck with it. One of the places in Scripture, he washed dirty, stank feet as an act of love. You don't understand. They didn't have clothes, shoes. Their shoes were sandals. They didn't have paved roads. It was dust. Those feet was dirty, stank feet. And Christ said, you want to be great? Let me show you how to be great. If you want to be great, you got to be a servant. Somebody say servant. Say servant. Servant. Men, we are the servants of the relationship. Christ said, I didn't come to be served. I come so that I might serve. She's been working just like you. Why do you think she ought to make you a bill? Oh, I know some people out there. Why she got to wash all the clothes? If you are the servant, help her in what she does. Somebody say service. It's all about service. When I stop trying to dominate her and began to serve her.
Amen.
Oh. My nights changed. I got two people that got that. No, they don't say nothing. When I stopped trying to dominate her and I started to serve her, all of a sudden, I became the center of the world. Lord, have mercy. Somebody say sacrificial love. We take care of our bodies. We clothe our bodies. Now, no, use that analogy of washing feet, but what does that got to do with marriage? Why don't you learn, and this is what I'm going to do, I'm going to learn how to massage your foot. Personally. And that's what I was talking about, service. You become a personal servant. A lot of times we have fellowship dinners here, and people say, you know what, I've never seen a pastor that serves. Let me tell you why. I ain't trying to impress you.
That's right.
Ain't trying to impress other folk. This person.
That's right.
You know why? Because I want to be great. In the economy of God, greatness is those who serve. I want you to take my word for it. In the book of Luke, so you'll see that my Bible still reads like yours. In the book of Luke, chapter 22, I'm going to read it for you. Verse 25, and he said, he being Jesus, these are in red letters, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. Look at somebody say, you are not like them. The world says that the very opposite. If you want to be great, it doesn't say be a servant. But look, he that doth serve. He says, for whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth, is not he that sitteth at meat. He says, I am, look at that, stop right there. If the I am of the universe, Lord have mercy, can be a servant, we can too. If the great I am can become a servant, so can we. What he's saying here, he says something about the youngest. In that traditionalistic day, the younger always served the older. But he says, if you want to be great, become a servant. If you want to become great in the church, get to serve. Lord have mercy. Some of the greatest people in the church are ushers. I didn't say the. I said some of the.
Amen.
Why? Because it is a life of service.
Amen.
And how do you know you're great? It's when nobody says anything about it. Let me tell you what, greatness is doing your job and making it look so easy that anybody believes they can do it too until they try it. I hope I make being a pastor look very easy. I hope I do. But let me tell you, it's not. No, it is not easy coming up. I'm coming up. It is not easy searching God for what to preach on Sunday. Ushers, how many ushers in the house? Raise your hand. Let me tell you something, ushers. The way you usher on Sunday will be dictated by your relationship with Christ Monday through Saturday.
Amen.
You want to write your attitude all messed up on Sunday? Have you sought the Lord through prayer Monday through Saturday? If I want to preach well on Sunday, I got to start seeking Him when I get through with this sermon.
That's right.
Did you hear me?
Amen.
When I'm finished preaching, I'm already thinking about what to say next Sunday. And notice this. How do I do that? I got to search for Him. I got to seek after Him. Those of you who are waiting to be seen or found of a man, can I say right here, if he isn't already searching after God, if he isn't already praying to God, listen to it. It's often been said that those cannot hear that aren't near. Oh, don't let me lose you. Those who aren't near can't hear. If I am leader, that means that I am following Christ. You can't follow Christ unless you are near to Him. If you're near to Him, you can hear His voice. And if I can hear His voice, then I can lead my family in the right way. Let me tell you something. You better not follow Him if He's not following the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Somebody say sacrificial service. We got to have a real materialistic type of love, a sacrificial type of love, then you got to love personally. We talk about the man. The woman is coming and the children are also. I just want to encapsulate what I was talking about. The good news is that if you're not the way you're supposed to be, you can start today.
Amen.
I had gone 15 years trying to control her. Did you hear me? I told you before, we often make the mistake of lighting the unity candle. Both candles are lit, and there's one candle in the middle that's not lit, and that candle service is, he takes his candle, she takes her candle, and puts it to the one that's not burning, then it begins to burn, and then they blow their candles out. That's biblically incorrect. You're not supposed to stop being who you are. Did you hear me?
Amen.
You're not supposed to stop being who you are. Don't blow your candle out. Becoming one means that I am an individual person with another individual person. Remember Adam, the rib was taken from Adam. God made a woman. Now if he wanted his rib back, he was going to get more. Somebody say more.
More.
He was going to get more than a rib. It's a whole person now. Did you hear me? It's a whole person now. So what am I saying? I'm saying that if we are going to be leaders of our families, we must be servants first. And we must have that servant attitude. And I want to just say right here, if you don't cook, because I told you to help her out, most of the time, y'all, I don't cook. But what I will say, honey, you've been working hard all day. You come on in, I'm going to buy you dinner. Oh, I know how to work. I know how to work. And get this, I'm paying for a meal for everybody. In other words, I'm cooking tonight. And then what am I cooking? I'm so glad you asked. It depends on what she wants. If she wants a steak, I'm good friends with Longhorn. She's feeling like pasta that night. I know Olive Garden personally. Oh, y'all heard it. No, you don't. Listen to me because I got this. Money talk and folk walk. So sometimes I just say, I'm cooking tonight. And that means that I'm buying. Somebody say, sir. Sacrificial love means I'm more concerned about her welfare than I am my own. If I can't get my hair done, I'm going to make certain she gets her hair done. If she wants her hair done. And I might want some shoes, but she wants some shoes. And then we just come, I'm going to leave you with this thought. Then we just come out of Valentine's Day. February 14th. Valentine's Day. Can I say right here that every day, it's Valentine's Day. But sometimes in June, I say, turn on the door. I don't need a special occasion because I got a special woman. Sometimes she needs some flowers just because she needs some flowers. Say something right here. Sometimes I send flowers to her job personally to let those folks know that that person got somebody that loves. And you better treat them right. You better treat them right. I tell her to get your card and get your flowers and your balloon and put them on top of your desk so that folks can see that you got somebody that loves you. Well, there's a dog in the gate, y'all. Don't let him out. Get him out of here, man. Somebody say, stay in your lane. Can you see? stay in your lane until you know where your lane is. It's right there in Ephesians, instructions of what everybody is supposed to do. We are a picture, the men are a picture of Christ. We play the part of Christ. It is a pictorial of Christ. And the woman is the church. We are to love her as Christ loved the church. My question to you, I started to name this, do you love her to death? Now you gotta love her to death. I don't mean that you gotta die, but if it means dying, you gotta be willing. But you can't crucify some stuff. Nail it to the cross. We need to tell each other every now and then, you need to nail that to the cross. Yeah. If you don't talk to her right, nail it to the cross. God forbid, if you don't have a cursor, are you serious? You better nail that to the cross. You better treat her right.
That's right.
You better love her better than yourself.
That's
we
right.
Just thank God for His Word. I put a challenge out there to you, men, to love your wife as Christ loved the church. And you start by little things.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You might say little things.
Little things.
You start by holding hands.
That's right.
Oh, it's just hold my hand. That don't cost you nothing.
That's right.
Y'all don't know they're going to say that to me.
Great pastor.
That don't cost you nothing. Sometime during the day, you need to just send her a text and just say, I love you. Every now and then. Now, I'm taking to account. We said this a long time ago. You got to be praying for her every day. Praying with her and for her. In other words, don't raise your hand. But I'll talk to the men. Men, ask yourself, don't raise your hand. Have you prayed with your wife today? Just ask yourself, have I prayed with my wife today? And you know, we can find so many excuses. I was in a hurry. Or I didn't have time. Or whatever the excuse might be. You know, people do what they want to do. If they want to do it bad enough, you get up early. Just no, so I have time to pray. Every day.
Every day
we should be touching and agreeing on the same thing.
Yes.
We're going to ask now that you would ready your hearts and your minds for this Holy Communion.